Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Tom Walters. I'm co-founder and president of Knox Gear, based out of Columbus, Ohio. My background in education is engineering. I've got a master's in mechanical engineering and undergraduate degrees in manufacturing and mechanical engineering from Miami University, and then the master's is from Ohio State. And I spent about 3 years at an aerospace engineering firm outside of Buffalo, New York, called Moog. I did that for 3 years before leaving and founding Knox Gear with my friend and obviously co-founder. His name is Simon. So that's me.
And can you talk to the kids a little bit about your process of inventing? And one of the things that I love, well, I know Knox Gear has a number of products, but my favorite product is 39G, a wearable speaker. And I don't work for Knox Gear, and nor am I getting any payment from Knox Gear. I'm a customer. But can you talk about how you guys saw a problem and a need, and how you guys went about creating such a cool device?
Yeah, so I think for the speaker, around that time, we had developed two products to that point, and we knew it was time to bring on a new one. And I guess I'd credit Simon initially with the idea of the speaker, because I think he runs quite a bit. Again, Simon's my co-founder, he's CEO of Knox Gear now. Had been running a lot, and just found headphones to be probably at least uncomfortable, probably more so dangerous, and just even at that time, and still you'll see runners out with their cell phone in their hand playing music through their cell phone, which is, you know, good but not the best. And so we discussed a couple of ideas around that, and ultimately landed on the speaker. And we had done some research as to what was out there. Amazon is a great place to go for that, because obviously there's a ton of products, ton of reviews. You can read the reviews and see what people don't like about the products that are out there, and you can get a sense of if there's a gap in the market, and it seemed to be. So it'd be a long story to talk through the whole development of the speaker, but we started to chip away at it, learn about the speaker driver itself, the audio, you know, the things that matter for audio quality. And then obviously had to develop the actual packaging and how the buttons were going to look and function and what buttons to include and that whole process, which again, it would take the whole time to just describe that, but that's the journey we started on. And honestly, even this year, we're still making improvements. And so this is, you know, 6 years later, I think, from the time we actually had the concept, and we're still making improvements in different areas of the design. So it's a long process that honestly really never ends.
Well, one of the students emailed earlier and they wanted to know about the conceptualization, not just with 39G, but also the LED harness and all that kind of stuff. So you guys come up with an idea, and then more or less, I know you said it's going to take a long time to explain, but
yeah,
can you kind of simplify it where an idea is conceptualized, and then what do you guys do with it?
Yeah, so I guess this would probably apply for the speaker or the tracer vest, the wearable illuminated vest, where, yeah, we had actually, the idea for that came, we were playing Ultimate Frisbee at night, and we... we had been using glow bands and stuff, and it was just like, ah, this isn't very good. You know, let's develop a lighted thing that you could wear. And so we made a really crude prototype. And I'd say this is an important part of any process to develop a new product, is you gotta test it. You gotta build it as soon as you can, and just test it out in any way possible. And over the years, we've gotten better and better about that. But I mean, in those early days, we were going to Hobby Lobby, Lowe's, you know, wherever, just to get materials. And then we started the process of learning how to source stuff out of China, because that's where most of these things are coming from, like the fiber optic elements and all that. And you just learn by testing, and then, you know, trying it out. What do you like about it? What's not working? And, try to test your, we always try to think of testing your assumptions. Like, I assume that if we add this feature or design this part of it in this way, that it'll be good, improve the experience or whatever. But you always try to think about what you're assuming will be the case, and try and test that as much as you can. Like, oh, I think this will be watertight. I assume, my assumption is it's watertight. Well, how can you test it? And how can you test it quickly? So I think that's a big part of our process, is writing down our assumptions and then figuring out how to test them in the quickest way possible, and with a result that you can actually act on.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're describing is, you know, kind of like Edison, where he's talking about how he what was the famous saying? He found 1,999 ways to not make a light bulb, but on the 2,000th, he figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, if I've got pictures and actually some physical prototypes from the early days of the running vest, where we were, I mean, it was just all kinds of crazy stuff. And but you know, you got to, that's why I think getting out of like your head, or getting away from just sketching it out and getting it into, if it's a physical product, getting it into the real world and testing it, is you'll learn so much more. You'll jump ahead 3 months in doing that versus trying to work it out on paper. And there's always this balance between how refined to make the next prototype versus making it quickly, because, you know, if you're going to refine it, takes longer, you make it faster, but maybe you don't learn the thing that you we're hoping to learn. So there's that all that balance, and always is something that we have to manage as we go through the process of developing anything new.
I mean, it was just absolutely fascinating as an educator to see such a product like that come across, where I'm like, this can be not just for sports. I know we were talking about this earlier, but it can be used, especially in this day and age post COVID, where a lot of stuff is virtual. And there does need to be a two-way conversation, and not everyone has headphones, and not everyone would like to have a speaker. I mean, the range, again, I don't work for them, but the range on these is like 30 feet when it's attached via Bluetooth to like an iPad. And yeah. So, you know, having that two-way conversation. One of our students, they wanted to know what kind of advice you have for them if they wanted to get into engineering like yourself. Like, what certain things should they study?
In high school?
Yep.
Well, it's been a long time since I've been in high school, but I'd say the ability to do computer-aided design, so there's any number of 3D computer packages, would be good. I think when you go, if you're going to go into engineering in college, you're going to get a ton of like classroom time and learning about, you know, the technical theories of things. But I think as I look back on it, I think the more you can get, like, just build stuff, you know, play around, like in the real world with motors or, you know, just any mechanical thing. Cause I think you'll, then when you go to learn this stuff, the reason for learning it will be more apparent, I think, as you're going through. And it'll just be, because I can think back of just such weird concepts that we learned through manufacturing processes or mechanics of materials. And it's like, if you have some real world experience to kind of, even if it's just very rudimentary, to just look back and go, oh yeah, that's why we learned that. So other than the obvious, like, it's going to be a lot of math, it's a lot of physics and science, chemistry, depending on what discipline you go into. But I think, again, the real world experience goes a long way to kind of supplement what you're learning in the classroom. Play around with robots, play around with motors, you know, anything you can get your hands on to take apart.
That's a wonderful, wonderful advice. We'll go with a couple more questions. I'm gonna let you go, but we have a question from Tommaso in Italy. And Tommaso, you should be able to unmute. You had a very interesting question.
So I would like to ask, if you need investors, where do you get them?
If you're looking for what?
Investors. Yes.
Ooh, well, I can tell you that we've never had investors for our company. We started it, you know, with our own savings. And then once we started, we actually had a couple Kickstarter campaigns, which I don't know that I would advise to do that. But at the time for us, it made sense. And so we bootstrapped the company that way, and we started to generate sales, and eventually got to the point where the bank gave us a line of credit, and that's what we operate on now. I think I can only speak to like our area. We're in Columbus, Ohio, but there's a number of like startup accelerators or investor groups that I'm aware of. And, you know, I would say, we always tell everybody here this at Knox Gear, it's like, you just got to go for it. Don't be too concerned about getting shot down, or you could walk in there and they'd be like, well, you know, what's your idea? And you tell them and they shoot it down. It's like, fine, you'll learn from that. I think going through this process, we're 10 years in now to Knox Gear. And every day I feel like I don't know what I'm doing exactly. And it's a constant feeling of like, oh man, it just doesn't feel right. And so often we go, it would be nice to have an expert in doing this. And really, I think a lot of times you got to trust yourself. You got to put yourself out there and make mistakes. And you learn so much faster that way versus, you know, people can have this tendency, depends on the person, but you kind of sit back and go, well, I better read a lot about this. I better research a lot. I better get prepared. And, you know, some of that's okay, but at some point you got to go, nah, you just do it and you learn so much more that way. So I can't give you like real specific advice on how to get an investor, but I'll give the general advice of don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't be afraid to ask what you think are silly questions, because they're not. I honestly to this day think I'm well beyond that, but I'm not. I'll ask a question where I'm like, oh, this is a silly question, but I got to ask it. And I've just trained myself to just not care and just ask the question. And so that's, if you can get to that point, I think you'll move a lot faster, just because you get like there's a term for it, but it's like analysis paralysis, I think, where you just like think, and you never actually do. So.
And it's like you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Yeah.
You
know?
So that's good. All right. So before we let you go, because I know you probably have some really like exact time. I can't imagine as a CEO, like the stuff that you do. But before we let you go, is there any advice that you give to the kids as someone who's so accomplished? I mean, I know you said, man, I wish we had some experts around here, but you're the guy, you're the expert for this industry that I think that you trailblazed, you and Simon. So what kind of advice would you have for these kids as they go off into the world and figure out what they want to do?
Yeah, I think, again, I'll credit Simon with this one, but it's so true as just a general philosophy in any career path. I think that you're going to feel, again, like you don't know what you're doing, feel inadequate, feel like the odds are stacked against you. And what Simon has said at times over the years is like, when you're at that point, it's like, then you know you're almost there. It's like, you always have to go through, you know, this tough path, challenges, problems, and in a way that never ends. But if you're able to like always fight against that and always try to, you know, move forward, then you will eventually succeed. And it's all incremental, you know, nothing. I feel like in this business that we're in, it's like people say, oh, I started up a product and I'm a millionaire overnight, or I'm drop shipping and I'm doing this. And you can find YouTube videos and Instagram and TikTok posts about all these wildly successful people. I don't know if it's true. I doubt that it is, because I know unless there's always a grind. And I guess, the advice I'm given is to push through that grind and keep doing that, because it's going to be better on the other side. It always is. You will always learn something and be able to move past it and grow and gain skills. So that's, you got to have the fight. That's the most important thing.
That's great advice. And we can't thank you enough for joining us today. And guys, we have in the link, we have a lot of other great guest speakers coming up, like Tom. Feel free to sign up. And before we let you go, before I end the meeting for all, I'm going to ask everyone to unmute. And can we all say thank you to Tom for spending time out of his precious day to talk to us today about his career? So thank you so much, Tom, from all of us to you.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.